In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our sermon text is our gospel reading from Luke, the 12th chapter. Brothers and sisters in Christ, as Jesus moves closer to the cross, closer to the beginning of the new creation in his own resurrected body, he shines the light of that eternity on the shadows of this creation. And the shadows that creep in on us are anxiety, worry, fear, and sorrow. In Luke, Jesus has already shined the light of his eternity on the shadows of Martha's anxiety and distraction by pointing her to the one thing necessary, hearing and receiving the words that Jesus speaks. And in the text leading up to today's gospel, Jesus has already shined the light of his eternity on those who are fearful of losing their physical lives. Jesus shines the light of his resurrection eternity and says, "Do not be afraid of the one who can kill the body. Physical death is not the worst thing that can happen to you." To those who are fearful, and to our brothers and sisters around the world who continue to lose their lives because they bear the name of Christ, Jesus promises them that God will raise their bodies by the same power with which he raised Christ's body from the dead. To those who are afraid of what they might say when confessing Christ in the world, Jesus shines the light of his eternity and says, "To the one who acknowledged me is me before men, I will also acknowledge before my Father who is in heaven. Do not be anxious about what you will say. The Holy Spirit will give you the words of mine to speak in that moment." But what about those who are anxious and fearful about losing money, pensions, retirement, savings accounts, possessions, inheritance, and then the material things we so often cling to and love of this world? Today, Jesus shines the light of his eternity on all of that. A man says, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." We all know the situations where inheritance becomes a point of dispute, of anger, of bitterness, of selfishness and greed, and families are divided over who gets what, and what is fair, and what is right. But Jesus says, "I'm not here to be the divider of inheritances, but to watch, to be on guard. You must against all covetousness. Do not covet your neighbor's house, or wife, or manservant, or maidservant, or ox, or donkey, or anything that belongs to your neighbor." The commandment is a wall that God sets up around what he has given to you, what he has given to other people. Coveting is not being satisfied with what God has given you. You want what God has given to other people. This is a daily battle. It is one of the sins that is constantly crouching at our door, and we must continually put it to death. Covetousness, St. Paul says, is idolatry, because it puts the things of God and the things that God gives you on the throne where God himself should sit. So we come back to the 9th and 10th commandments, and ultimately to the first commandment. Covetousness is not believing that God will provide everything you need to support this body and life here in time, and everything you need in eternity. It is not fearing, loving, and trusting God above all things. But in all things, God creates and gives, especially to other people. And Jesus illustrates that idolatry in the parable about the rich man whose fields yielded fruit in abundance. Who made the man rich? God. who made his fields produce, God. But instead of being content with what God has given him and serving those who need what God has given him, he tears down his already sufficient barns and builds bigger ones. That way, he can sit back and eat and relax and drink, be merry, you know, enjoy retirement, a life lived only for himself. Fool, God says, tonight your life is demanded of you, and all that what you have accumulated throughout your life, all that fills your barns, whose will they be? It might end up with these two idiots fighting over the inheritance. His life is completely bound up in the stuff that he has collected and gathered. And that's it. What is in those barns he built? In a few words, his entire life. But what good is that life at the point of death? Can that idol of coveting stuff save you? At least Solomon is wise when it comes to the things of this world. He realizes that collecting stuff and gathering stuff is not going to get you very far. He goes even further. It is not only completely selfish, but it is at odds with what our Lord has given. It's not only an unbeliever. Everyone, rich or poor, young or old, wise or foolish, believer or unbeliever, Solomon realizes, will die. Our lives are but a mist that appears for a little time and then vanishes. And that thought, that no matter what you do in this world, no matter how hard you work, no matter what you enjoy and spend your time most on, no matter the things of this world that you love the most and would rather enjoy, no one gets any of it in the end. It will all be stripped away from you, one by one. And that leads Solomon to despair. But it's not even good enough to realize that much. It's not good enough to realize, as unbelievers often do, that your hard work, your accomplishments, your material wealth isn't going to get you much in the end. So instead of the little barns of material wealth, we build bigger barns, don't we? Of legacy, or giving away the wealth to worthy causes, or family, or experiences, or memorable moments. But what will all of that get you in the end? What, people saying nice things about you at your funeral? And tell me this then, when you are lying breathless in your casket, will you be able to hear and rejoice over those things? You see, if Jesus stops here with these words, we are no further along toward any kind of hope and peace than Solomon is in Ecclesiastes. Thank God that is not where Jesus stops on the way to the cross. He shines the light of his eternity also here, on our anxiety about things and possessions. Do not be anxious, Jesus says, about clothing, food, and what you need for the body and life. The God who clothes the flowers and feeds the birds, your own dear Heavenly Father, knows what you need. And the wealth and treasure of God's kingdom is in the gracious rule and reign of Jesus Christ, not simply in the things that God gives you here in time to support your body and life, but Jesus, a kingdom without borders, a kingdom without ends, a kingdom of eternity. a kingdom that your gracious Father wills to give you. Your treasure is not in the stuff that rots, rusts, and is destroyed or stolen. Your treasure is in Jesus Christ our Lord, who ascended to the Father's right hand of power, so that your heart is there with him also. The key is this, that your death doesn't come when your life is demanded of you and you lose every cent that you've ever earned. The fact of the matter is, you have already died with Christ. In the waters of holy baptism, you were buried with Christ. His death to sin is your death to sin, and his resurrection is your resurrection to eternal life. That's what baptism is. And now your life cannot be any of the things that will only, like false gods, bring despair. The light of Christ's own resurrection eternity erases the shadows of fear, anxiety, sin, the devil's accusations, and death itself. Your life is not among the things of this world. Your life is hidden with God in Christ. Hidden from your sight now, because you only have it by faith in the promise of Christ. But also hidden from anyone or anything that might try to kill or destroy that life. If your life is in Christ, who already died and now lives forever, who can take that life from you, dear Christian? Why should you fear the one who can take only life in this creation when your true, real life is in Christ? Because the one thing necessary is the life that Christ delivers to you by his life-giving word. Because he delivers that life to you again today in his own eternally living body and blood. This is your life. This is your light. This is your hope. This is your Jesus. He is the one whom not even death can steal, kill, or destroy. For nothing can separate you from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And the Holy Spirit, who gives you the faith to believe this, is the down payment of your eternal inheritance, which never gets smaller, though it is divided among an innumerable multitude. What you have now, by faith, that seems so lackluster and insubstantial to this world, it is everything. It is the power of God unto salvation for you and all who believe in Christ. And when that Jesus, who is your life, appears, then you will appear with him immortally in glory, the light of the resurrection. No more shadows of anxiety and worry, fear or sorrow. Only the light of Christ, begun in his own resurrected body and now shared with you forever. Amen.